Right, welcome everybody to another episode of Chris and Dave's Reality TV Cast. I'm one of your hosts, Chris, and my co-host and very good friend is Dave.
Hey there, Chris, and hello to our listeners out there. Welcome to Chris and Dave's Reality TV Cast. We are covering Traitors UK Season 2, Episodes 10 through to 12, the last three episodes of the season, Chris. Oh my God, I love this show, but where would you like to start today?
Well, Dave, I was absolutely dying for you to be up to the same point as me, but you did it the right way. You binged it all in one sitting. And honestly, again, Dave, apparently viewing figures for the finale is nearly 7 million, which is like an absolute record. We see 5.5 is the concurrent million, which is unbelievable. This series, I didn't think it'd get better. And I think it's been better than the first series. And I love, there's no reason, first series was a 10 out of 10. This has been a 10, 11 out of 10. I've loved every single bit of this. You know, it's 12 episodes. It's not a Love Island. It's not a fucking Maths. It's not on for like 6 weeks or anything. It's on for 4 weeks. And realistically, you could do this over 2 weeks. But what a show. So obviously we're covering the last three episodes. And episode 10 starts, Dave, with them recruiting Ross, don't they? So Ross, as we said in episode 9, Ross is plotting to get Andrew and Harry back. Because of what happened with him, you know, binning his mum off in the previous week. But yeah, Ross, Dave, has got to go down as probably the Anthony of traitors, as in the Anthony place of my beloved Manchester United, who is absolute garbage and came in with a prize tag. Ross didn't have a prize tag, but he had all these little comments he was going to do the business, Dave. And again, another one bites the dust for me. Absolute shocking.
You know, we've had a few wrestling chats of late, and it reminds me, say, if you got the Royal Rumble and someone comes in and they absolutely fucking leg it, you know, and they give it all the bravado and everything, they jump in the ring and then just get bounced straight back out again.
The Bushwhackers, do you remember?
Yeah. That was it. It was the Bushwhackers, wasn't it? I couldn't remember specifically like who it was, but yeah. I mean, Ross was giving it the big one, wasn't he? Oh, he's going to get Harry, you know, he's not happy that he murdered Diane and stuff. But straight away from breakfast, you know, Zach was kind of onto him. And unlike when we've seen traitors before, you know, they've got good responses to things. I just felt like Ross just didn't have a good response to anything and just looked the guiltiest one. Now, Zach also kind of highlighted, what's her name, Jasmine. But I don't know. I was thinking about this. I was thinking, if we didn't know who the traitors were, like, would we guess as well? Because we're watching it with all that kind of, not hindsight, is it? But we can see behind the curtain. We can see who the traitors are. So when there's the little clues and stuff, it seems quite obvious to us. And I just felt like Ross was totally obvious, but maybe if we didn't know, maybe it would have been harder to spot because everyone denies it, don't they? But yeah, I agree. I think Ross was a pretty terrible traitor, and it wasn't really that hard for them to single him out and boot him out all within that one day, wasn't it? You know, made a traitor in the evening, you're fucked off in the evening. The next day, fucked off in the evening the next day.
And you're right, because Harry and obviously Andrew, when he came in, he's not been a traitor for long. Ross, you know, probably wasn't aware initially. Harry's been the orchestrator of the whole thing, hadn't he? I thought Paul was going to be the one who survived and played the game. Yeah. Harry was just a brilliant bit of casting to pick him out. And the way he literally told Ross, though, did he, Dave, round the thing? Like, basically, we're going to fuck you over if you know what I mean, if you don't play ball.
That was weird, wasn't it? That was episode 9, that, wasn't it? And he's sort of saying, like, you know, we need a bit of a patsy.
Yeah.
Without saying he needs a patsy, but that's essentially what he was saying, you know. He wanted to pick someone who's got a bit of heat on them. But, yeah, Ross had nothing at all, did he?
No, nothing. And even when he's like chatting around the table and he's just throwing stuff out. What I find interesting, Dave, not about you, but every episode, you sort of feel as if you're going to know who they're going to vote for. And all it takes is one person
yeah,
to start, like, you know, like putting stuff together, putting a bit of a story together, a little bit of evidence, even if it's unfounded. And then all of a sudden, everyone votes for that person. I'm like,
yeah,
I don't get it. I mean, I want to talk about that later on, because it was so apparent later on what happened with one of the, with Andrew. But yeah, Ross was fucking useless. And I did love the old, you know, mic drop bit of, you know, I'm the son of somebody, Diane. And then they pan to Harry and he's like, fucking hell, no wonder he hated us. We fucking, it's a bit weird. He's,
yeah.
Nailing his mum's coffin sort of thing, wasn't it? You know, like, and it's this true.
Made him bury his mum.
Yeah. So he, even though Harry didn't know, he did the right thing, because Ross would never have aligned with Harry at all, no matter what happens. He would have been looking at all points to try and take him out the game. So it worked for Harry again, Dave. The stars were aligning all the way through this last week.
Oh, I mean, as the saying goes, Chris, the traitors played a very good game. But Harry played a very good game. But by Christ, he had some luck as well. Now, I agree with what you're saying. Someone comes up with a story about someone else and that's it. The momentum builds. And we saw this a lot in season one. And I feel like we've got better players because they've seen the other seasons, you know, and they know what the game is. They know what their tactics are going to be. But still, there's that part of the human condition that just follows this narrative, like say, like it's the Salem witch trials or something. You accuse someone, that's it. The whole town is chasing after them with pitchforks and stuff. It's just utterly bizarre. But the way Harry came in, you know, with a shield, you know, so because that's the other stroke of luck, isn't it? You know, he got the shield. And he's come in with this story that, oh, well, you know, traitors must have tried to kill me, but I had the shield. Not at any time did anyone question whether, well, you know, we know that they can recruit. Harry might have been a traitor. You know, a traitor can get a shield and do a bit of a the old switcheroo, the sort of double bluff. No one seemed to question it at all. And in terms of whether they've edited out, you know, whether there's questions about Harry, I don't know, but he seemed to get away with most things. And Jazz, I could see why he was doing it, you know, through these last three episodes. He was sort of playing his cards quite close to his chest. I thought, you know, when Paul told Jazz about the conversation that Jazz had with Harry, and then when it became obvious Paul was a traitor, I thought Jazz would have made the connection and just thought, right, well, that's where they've discussed it. But no, he sort of, he had his doubts about Harry, but they weren't that strong. And I just think that, you know, I could see why he did it, but he ended up, you know, it didn't work out for him in the end.
No, and the thing was, Dev, you're right. Like, you know, you think about the game they played, wasn't it? That, like, the monument thing. And, you know, Harry had the chance to take the money, Dave, but to show that he wasn't a traitor, or, you know, just to play the long game. It was like, this.
Oh, what a legend. What a legend, Harry. Is so virtuous.
And it's all these things that everyone's like, especially fucking Molly, Dave. She was absolutely in awe of Harry, and it was never a doubt that he was a traitor. But yeah, that again, Dave, brilliant, brilliant gameplay. Something that I'm watching it going, they're fucking buying all this, aren't they? Every single one of them. I mean, we saw Zach go at the start of episode 11, and he'd been quite vocal, hadn't he, about, like, obviously, he was. He didn't say anything about Harry, really. It was more sort of Andrew, wasn't it? And Ross, he'd had a real pop at it. And he'd been on the money, Zach, all the way through. But then the way he acted at times, Dave, even though we knew he wasn't a traitor, he acted like a traitor.
Yeah,
and that ultimately was one of the ones where Harry was like, we need to get this guy out. It was close call at the episode 10 that Zach was nearly exposing them all. So it was like, right, mate, see ya, sort of thing. So I thought that was the right call if they were going to win it. And I predicted, well, I didn't predict. I'm not doing the reality radar here, Dave. but my gut was the traitors are going to win, because there was just too many things working for them, because people were just like, it's like that thing where when it's right in front of your face, sometimes it's there, you know, it's there. Sometimes it is just there. And people were looking all over the place for the answers when it was like, Harry's there. Have you not realised that every single breakfast is usually the first one in the room and all that? Nobody seemed to pick up on that.
No, but he did, as they say, play a good game. I just feel like he just said the right things, you know, about, oh, you know, we have to win it for the faithfuls and whatever. Like, all the way through, he played it quite well. But, yeah, in the monument thing where they have to whip the swords out, you know, another stroke of luck. He ends up winning that, like you say, and everyone sort of loves him. But that's just pure chance. You know, that wasn't game playing on his part. But I think when Zach went, it's interesting to see the different way Zach approached the game and Jazz approached the game. I mean, both of them lost in the end, so I don't know what you take from it. But Zach, if he had a theory, he was going to tell everyone about it. Whereas Jazz was very, very cautious about who he would share that information with. And even his theory about Harry, he didn't actually tell anyone. He didn't verbalize that to anyone else. So for me, he didn't take advantage of the kind of momentum that you can get with, you know, just stirring a bit of shit.
Yeah.
Because you might have been wrong about Harry. Oops, got rid of another faithful there. You know, but he didn't do it because he didn't trust anyone. So, you know, he could have been relaying that information to one of the traitors. So he wanted to stay in the game for as long as possible. I think it's fascinating just to think, like, what would your tactics be? You know, and how many times have we seen it now where someone say, oh, you know, Molly was saying it, oh, Harry. Well, I know Harry's definitely a faithful. It's like, he's the OG, you know. So it's really interesting. I kind of want to watch more seasons, and I know the Aussie one's on, isn't it? The US one's on. So I don't know where I'll find time, but at some point, you know, I want to watch them as well and just see how people play the faithful game, you know, because you're sort of focused on the traitors, aren't you, and how they play it. But what exactly are the faithful traits that stop you getting murdered, but also, you know, keep you through to the end? But also, you need those alliances, don't you? You know, that's the thing that scuppered Jazz in the end.
Yeah, and I think it's a good point or a good question you raise is, what are the traits to get away? I do think that with Harry, he wasn't loud, he wasn't confrontational. I do honestly think it's about just doing enough, just staying under the radar. Don't piss somebody off because you don't know who they are. Harry knew who the traitors were, but you don't know what that faithful can do, you know, the influence they have. And I think his alliances were very, very clever, the conversations he had. I mean, he had Andrew on board, and so I thought he did. You know, Andrew and that, they all turned on Jasmine, you know, and then they met from nowhere, absolutely nowhere. And I was like, this is weird as hell.
That came back. I thought that was an obvious one. But again, sorry to cut across you, people don't listen and think about the actual facts. So they were saying that. So it all came down to Zach's theory, didn't it? So Zach was saying, well, we knew that Harry had a shield. So one of you three, it was Jasmine and Ross and Evie, wasn't it? One of you three must, or at least one of you is a traitor, because you didn't know that Harry had a shield, and they're taking as gospel that of course, Harry was, you know, the victim of attempted murder and not entertaining the fact that he was a traitor. But because Jasmine, for whatever reason, Zach gave Evie a bit of a pass, but he was really going after Ross and Jasmine. And so Jasmine sort of got defensive about herself, but also she started defending Ross. Well, as soon as Ross gets up and says, I'm a traitor, you know, everyone else is like, well, Jasmine's clearly in leagues with Ross, isn't she? You know, she was defending Ross and, you know, still fits with the theory. And I'm like, but it's so fucking obvious. And she was saying that. She was saying, you know, you guys know I was mating around with Ross and stuff. Would I do that if we were traitors and make it so obvious? No. But no one wanted to hear it. It was like, yeah, Jasmine, Jasmine, Jasmine. It's fucking brilliant.
It's honestly, it's excellent. It is brilliant. And then when we get to the final days, in the final, we've got obviously Harry, Jazz, Molly, Andrew, and Evie. And what gets me, Dave, is obviously there was no murders, was there? So we start with that five, you know, there's no twist or anything. But Andrew, I thought, was going to win it. I said to Sam, as we were watching it, I'm like, I think Andrew's going to win this. And she's like, well, what's your theory? Like, well, how do you think that? And it wasn't the Chris Phelps Hail Mary special, Dave, just for, you know, basically saying, yeah, Andrew's going to win. In fact, no, Harry's going to win it. No, Molly's going to win. No, you know, I went for L5. I just said, I think the way episode 11 finished, it felt as if Harry was starting to sort of, the pressure was getting to him. There was a bit of creaking there. There was a little bit of question of what he's doing. And I said, if Andrew plays this right, he could really turn on Harry and make the whole table turn like we've seen all the way through. But ultimately, he fucking didn't. And what I don't get, Dave, what absolutely baffled my head with when Andrew was kicked out was the fact that Jazz had already said stuff, hadn't he, about Harry. He'd questioned it. And he was like, okay. And Molly was just fucking forget it. She was fucking team fucking Harry, no matter what he did.
This season's Meryl, wasn't she? clue.
He could have had a fucking t-shirt on saying, I am a traitor. Yeah. She still wouldn't have believed it. You know what I mean? Here's my cloak. No, you're not a traitor. You've stolen that. You know, like you scream or something, Dave, and it's like, no, I'm not the murderer, you know? Yeah, but you've got a cloak and a voice box, and no, it's not me, honestly. And a knife, no, and a ghost, no.
I saw you in the library with the lead piping.
Yeah, just stabbing someone. No, it definitely wasn't me, honestly, it wasn't. But when Andrew, I thought he's played a blinder. He turned on Harry before Harry, because we'd already seen a little bit of chat. So Harry was talking to Jazz one off, like off in one of the rooms, blaming it on Andrew and all this. So I'm thinking, here we go. And then when Andrew brought his argument to the table, everyone was questioning Harry, but then everyone voted for fucking Andrew. Jazz voted for fucking Andrew. And I'm like, how have we got to this point? Especially Jazz, because he was, for me, he was Inspector Clouseau, Dave. He was absolutely class. You know, well, no, he was Poirot, wasn't he? He was so, the way he broke everything down, he wasn't, all right, I know he said in the last episode, there was a couple of things he was off on, but I think he was in the ballpark. Things just didn't make sense to him, the way he broke it all down. And I'm thinking, I want Jazz to win it. But when they turned on Andrew, I still don't understand how he ended up with more votes at that table sitting. I don't get it, because everything was pointing to Harry. He was panicking. Everything he said didn't make sense. He was sweating. His eyes were flickering. He had his fingers over his mouth. Classic body language, worrying what he's going to say. But nobody read a fucking book on human body behavior before they went in there. And I'm like, you bellend.
You know what this was, Chris? You know what this was like? This was like when Frank Bruno had... Tyson. Yeah. And he sort of gave him a dig, but he didn't go in. He didn't go in to finish the job. Jazz had Harry rocked, I thought, because Harry's explanation was shit.
Yeah.
I mean, it just wasn't good at all. And he was just saying, oh, yeah, well, you know, because he's a traitor, he's just throwing around names and stuff. And you can see Harry talking to the camera. It's like, oh, yeah, Jazz is a much better player than I gave him credit for. But he didn't go in for the killer punch. And honestly, when Jazz held up Andrew, that was when I felt like, yeah, that's it. That's game over. Harry's won this. Because that was the moment that I think he could have got Harry out. And there was obviously enough doubt in Jazz's mind, you know, about how this link between Harry and Paul, that he thought, well, yeah, Andrew's definitely the traitor. But yeah, at that moment, I thought, yeah, Harry's won.
Yeah. And I'm with you. I'm with you, Dave, because what in my head is the same thing. I'm thinking, well, I think Molly thinks there is no other traitors on that table. Or if there is, it's not Harry. And honestly, I was like, oh, what are we doing here? This is it. He's gone. So obviously Andrew went, he took it, had a good chat at the end, really nice bloke. And Dave, what a what a backstory he brought to the show. Oh my God, a poor man, you know, like unbelievable. What an absolute courageous guy. That's why I never sort of wanted him to win then. I wanted him to win Ojaz, but
when
we get the final table, Dave, you know, we get the fucking table and they're all around it. And, you know, Harry's there, Jazz is there, Molly. And I'm like, I'm just thinking, this is it. This is the point. But I think what they ruined it for me with the suspense was when Molly, because we knew Harry was going for Jazz and we knew that Jazz was going for Harry. When they showed the H that she wrote on the card, and then she was umming and ahhing, and then she scraped it off. And then she scraped it on. I'm like, oh, she's going for fucking Jazzy. He's gone. He's 100% gone. Because obviously they were throwing the red thing in, weren't they? They wanted to keep going. And obviously the game lasts until all of them are in agreement. But honestly, Dave, I absolutely was sat there going, you fucking donut. You've absolutely, he has sold you the dream here. He has sold you double glazing, and you were fucking bought it, and you don't even own a house. You know what I mean? That's how bad it was for Molly. Terrible gameplay for me.
So they are actually in a relationship, aren't they?
And what a surprise.
You could tell towards the last couple of episodes, surely there are a few hints at it that, you know, they've got a lot closer. I think she's 21, he's 22, you know, so they obviously gravitated together, and, you know, I was thinking, you know, maybe Harry's going to have a bit of a wobble here. You know, he's going to think, oh, Christ, do I really want to put our relationship in jeopardy, you know, all for this kind of this prize money? No, he's like, fuck this. I'm having that money. But I wish Molly had have just taken a second to think, because after Andrew went, you know, Molly threw in the green, Harry threw in the green, and then it was Jazz who threw in the red to say, nope, we've got a traitor amongst us, so we need to go again. Had Molly just thought, well, hang about, if Jazz was a traitor, wouldn't he just want the game to finish? Like, because if you all go green, but there's a traitor there, you win the money. Yeah. So why would Jazz want to you know, do another banishment? It just didn't think make
of that.
Sense.
Yeah, didn't think of that. Yeah.
Well, clearly, fucking Molly didn't either.
Molly didn't either. Yeah, you're right.
She was just going on a flip of a coin, I think. But I sat there, God, like, head in my hands, like, what are you doing? And then when she puts up, you know, there's no more traitors here, like, and she says, oh, you're a traitor. I know you're just waiting for it, aren't you, with Harry? Yeah, I'm a traitor. And you're like, oh, fucking hell. And she obviously storms off and stuff. But I think, judging by some of the things I've read, like, he's going to share the money with her. But, I mean, that kind of betrayal, that's, I don't know if you sort of get over that. I know it's a game and everything, but she wasn't listening to the logic. She basically, you know, she just trusted Harry absolutely, and so, you know, that's why she's gone for it.
Well, Dave, what would be the ultimate betrayal is they're together and she gets her money and then goes, ha ha, I'm still fucking playing the game, see you later, pal. She fucking runs off with the money, and we don't, and she films it on an iPhone, and we get like a Traitors After Dark, Dave, you know, like the VHS Strikes Back After Dark. But yeah, well, I mean, don't get me wrong, it was absolutely gripping, to the point where we were shouting at the telly going, what are you doing, Molly? No, it's there. Yeah. No, don't do that. You know, but absolutely brilliant. And Harry said, didn't he? I'm glad to go back to being Harry. I just thought it was a fantastic show, and what a great series, and what a breath of fresh air. Completely different reality show than what we cover today, but absolutely worth every single minute of watching it for me.
Yeah, it was amazing, wasn't it? I just love it. I love the show. But Chris, I mean, you know, when we watched Love Island and stuff, from when we first covered it in season 5, I think it was, UK, you were saying you're just hoping that someone takes all the 50 grand, you know, at the end, but they never do. How do you feel having Harry, who is a traitor, he actually won. Because I'll be honest, it sort of leaves me a bit empty. You know, I kind of feel like the baddies have won. It's like the end of Empire Strikes Back. You know, the baddies have won, but there's no Return of the Jedi. I don't know. I just, it felt better to me, just in terms of, you know, your emotions and whatever. In season one, when Wilf got kind of found out, and then the traitors, the Romanian faithfuls actually won the cash. That felt better to me.
To be honest, Dave, yes. I was the same. I felt I was wanting the faithfuls to sort of take it and you know, because we see it all. And I said to you, I think last year with the faithfuls winning it, I think the UK series so far is one of the only ones where the faithfuls have actually won, you know, like actually won the money. So that was quite unique. Whereas I just knew it wasn't going to go. The way you say, Dave, the look and the way other people, when a massive fucking question mark or the massive like arrow is pointing above Harry's head to say he's a traitor, somebody else pipes up with another bit of dialogue or does something that everyone all of a sudden goes, no, it's definitely not Harry. But what about this person? And then they get voted off. It was like just every episode was, not every episode, but from about episode 7, there was reason to doubt Harry and nobody really, really picked up on it. It was just sheer... I think Jazz just had to go for him because he was at the end and he's like, I don't get how he's still here. You know, like, so, but yes, I'm the same. A little bit empty, Dave. It's sort of like the baddies have won and the heroes never win, Dave. They're usually, not the heroes, the baddies never win usually. So, yeah, look, amazing. But it also helps with series 3 because, like, how are they going to top this? Because it's, I mean, I do think it's one of them shows, though, Dave. It'll peak. I remember. I was on the radio the other day, and someone asked me about The Apprentice. And I used to love The Apprentice, but fucking Alan Sugar's got...
Nice little drop there.
Oh, yeah, just
was on the radio
there.
Just the other day.
TV critic Chris Phelps, I believe. But what I mean is they asked a question about The Apprentice. I used to love The Apprentice, Dave. The first couple of series, they didn't really take me in, but then after that, I was hooked. Alan, you watch it now, Alan Sugar's saying the same Christmas cracker jokes, the same build-up, you know what's going on. Nobody's got a good fucking business plan. They've written it on the back of a fucking first class stamp. You know, like everyone fails in all the missions. Everyone's a bit like the traitors. Everyone's backstabbing each other. And I think this show will peak in maybe one or two series. And then potentially it needs to have a rest because I think it'll, the way these shows go, a bit like when you like X Factor, Stars in Your Eyes, fucking all day. That's a throwback. Britain's Got Talent, stuff like that. They peak, but then the producers and TV just don't know when to stop. Ant and Dec Saturday Night Takeaway. Yeah, the odd episode's okay, but fucking boring. It's just Ant and Dec telling us how great they are and bringing all the fucking mates on, like Robbie Williams and that every week. Same fake laughs, challenges. Some of it can be okay, but it's gone on for too long and you're like, I want something fresh. And I feel I want this to go out on top if they're going to have it a break. I don't want it going yet, but I'm just saying I can just see... This will not last for 10 years, this show. I'll be amazed if we're still talking about it then.
Well, you say about The Apprentice, but they've had, I mean, they're just coming up to their 18th season, aren't they?
Yes.
So I think Traitors got a fair way to go. Something's been on the TV for 18 years, then, you know, you would imagine it probably peaks. But then I guess they, you know, each year they would find new audiences as well. I don't know. It'd be interesting to see if they shake things up a bit because they did tweak it a little bit, didn't they? You know, it wasn't exactly the same as season one, the premise of it and everything was, but, you know, in terms of how they bring in the new traitors, the whole dungeon thing was different, wasn't it? So I don't know. I think there's a few seasons yet before it starts to get stale.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I just can't see how it can fail at the moment. But brilliant, absolutely class, Dave. And I'm so glad we covered it again.
Yeah, because I think we did a bit of a flyby first, didn't we? We just did season one as a kind of one and done episode, I think. Whereas this one, actually going through each week, was a lot of fun.
No, it's been good. It's been good. And thank you, everyone, for indulging us in this. I hope you've enjoyed it. The chat on Facebook in the Facebook chat has been amazing. Everyone's been gripped by this. So I hope you've enjoyed it as much as we have and everyone listening. If you do want to join us over there, Chris and Dave's Reality TV cast, come and join us over there, guys. It's great fun. And the chat facility is amazing. We've got 3 or 4 chat channels based on the different shows that we're covering. So everyone just goes in there. There is spoilers, bear in mind, if you do join the chat. If not, all the show links are on the front page of our Facebook page. So thank you to everyone who keeps posting on there. I do appreciate it and all the information. If you want to email us, cdvaltycast@gmail.com. If you want to follow us on social media, @cdvaltycast. As always, please get over to patreon.com/cdvaltycast if you do want to support us a little bit more. We really appreciate all your support, guys. So the roll call of honor and a full stop on the traitors. Big thank you to Sinead, Jesse, Katja, Sims, Andrea, Nick, Danielle, Kim, Amanda, Larissa, Helen, Nicola, Emma, Fiona, Cassie, Maggie, Zoe, Gillian, Keith, Helen, Chloe, Noreen, Joanna, Libby, Katie, Dee Dee, Susan, Hennessy, Lauren, Lucky Lulu Green, and Kate Nastas. So thank you so much, guys. Another show, another series down. Can't wait to see what's coming up next, Dave. No, you don't, but there you go.
Yeah, my God, it's tomorrow, isn't it, Mash? So let's enjoy at least a few hours without thinking about that. But thank you very much, sir. Thanks to all our listeners out there. Thanks to all our supporters. And actually, I'll just leave you with this, and I'll say, Traitors played a very good game. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Goodbye.